أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا، سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل البيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعن الله أعداءهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله وقوله الحق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين. صلاة على محمد وعلى محمد. Battling today's Islamophobia has been our ongoing topic. Tonight is lecture number 6. We have been for the past 2 nights now trying to develop Islamic identity inside of us. And the purpose of these lectures has been trying to establish some sort of a system of self-respect and dignity inside of us in this part of the world, where we are not easily confused, nor are we easily shaken by the faith that we belong to. Because this izzat that we have, this dignity that we have, only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, we have countless traditions that say that in the eyes of Allah, the Aziz is the one who is pious and who is a mu'min. In Surah Munafiqun, for example, ayat number 8, the Quran makes that point very clear for you. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ لِلْرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That this izzat, this respect, belongs to Allah, it belongs to His Rasul, it belongs to the mu'mineen. And even that izzat that belongs to our Holy Prophet was given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or the izzat that you and I might have is because of our iman. Ultimately, this dignity and respect that we have is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we have so many traditions about the hurmat of a mu'min, the respect of a mu'min. The dignity of a mu'min is very crucial to uphold in society. Because the moment that you lose your own self-respect, the moment that you lose your own self-dignity, then you become an individual who starts to apologize for things that you shouldn't be apologizing for. Or you end up being an individual who feels inferior about a faith you should be feeling superior about. Or you end up sacrificing things that should never have been sacrificed. All because there's been an attack on your self-respect and dignity, and that being the ultimate blessing from Allah, by doing that, you've done a grave injustice towards Allah. Individuals who are victims of this phobia in this society, individuals who have, like I said, sacrificed their values. I'm talking about us, our community, individuals from our ummah, our nation, who have transformed themselves and conformed themselves and assimilated themselves in the name of this society and given up their values of deen and Islam and faith and iman. Also, they can be accepted and these individuals can be pleased by them who have no connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is injustice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this respect and this dignity, like I keep on saying, is a blessing from Allah. It's an amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we respect those individuals that don't have big homes, but rather those who have big hearts. We don't respect those individuals who treat their cars better than they treat their wives. nor do we respect those individuals who make a lot of money but deny that money for their children and family. This society might respect them, but Islam does not say they are aziz. In fact, they are zalil in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Amir al-Mu'mineen is saying that the ultimate level of izzat that Allah has given me is the fact that I can be an abd of Allah, that's the level of izzat that we want. Imagine that statement. That through the enslavement by another existence, you gain respect in this world. That's amazing, if you ask me. Because there are those people who in this world gain respect, but they are enslaved by their riches and the fame and the fortunes of this dunya. But Amir al-Mu'mineen says, no. My izzat is the fact, my sharaf is the fact that I belong to you, Allah. If I have any izzat, it's because of you, Allah. If an alim has any izzat, it's not because of the alim. It's because he's preaching the deen of Allah. If a sha'ir has any respect, it's not because of him. It's because he writes poetry about Allah, his Rasul, and the Ahlul Bayt. That connection, that irtibat, that association with Allah equals the respect that you have. Now, if you're going to now take that izzat and that respect in society, as an individual who follows the path of Islam, as someone who follows the Ahlul Bayt, as someone who's been given that amanat, and you'll throw that amanat away for the sake of individuals who don't even want you to perform your everyday obligations, then what do you think Allah thinks of you? Because that's what's happening right now. If Allah has given us any self-respect as Muslims, this society is trying to strip that respect away from us. And a lot of us fight for that self-respect, some of us very easily conform and sacrifice that self-respect. Because there is a difference between self-respect and takabur. Don't get these two mixed up. There's a difference between respecting yourself and believing that you are everything. One is self-respect, one is self-conceit. Allah doesn't give you self-conceit or an ego or pride. Allah gives you self-respect and dignity. The source of that self-respect is Allah. The source of that pride is your own nafs. There's a big difference. So I'm not asking all of you to be a person who's dignified and respectful to the point where you are egotistical. No. Humility itself is dignity. Lowering yourself when you should be is itself self-respect, but not to everybody. Not to any individual, especially not to those individuals who are our outright enemy, who don't want Islam to progress in society. You bow your head to these people. You apologize to these people. You are subservient to these people. Because these types of blessings from Allah are just that. They're blessings from Allah. And as we know, the general ruling from Allah is what? I will continue to give you blessing upon blessing, provided you use that blessing for what it was meant to be used for. The moment you use that blessing to lower Islam, I'll strip that from you. The moment you use that blessing to propagate Islam and increase your deen and iman, I'll increase those blessings for you. So we have individuals, unfortunately, in our community, in our society, in our ummah, in our nation, across the globe, and sometimes in our own backyard, who had self-respect, who were dignified individuals, but because they used that to lower themselves in front of the enemy, they were stripped of that self-respect by Allah. They have no dignity left. They're not respected by anybody. Because they believe their source of itminan, their source of income, their source of acceptance, are these people. Allah says, no, that source is me. Come to me, I'll give you that source. I'll increase that izzat. I'll increase that dignity. Provided you use that to become closer to me, not to these people. So while we are struggling with our Islamic identity in this part of the world, in this country specifically, and while there are movements now to strip us of that identity, to no longer make us feel like we are Muslims, to make us feel like we are another dimension of this society, make us feel like we are different from everybody else, part of you being able to uphold that is for you to uphold your self-respect and dignity. Because you belong to the abdiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more you fall in sujood, the more respect Allah has for you. The entire mission of Ahlul Bayt was just that. The reason why they were killed, all 11 of them, the way they were brutally killed, all of them, either poisoned or killed, was because they didn't bow in front of those individuals. They maintained their dignity and self-respect. That izzat was there. So it's one thing where you are now stripping yourself of that dignity and self-respect. It's another now where you are stripping the dignity of somebody else in that community. And now where you are not only humiliating yourself, but you are humiliating the guy beside you as well sometimes. Either through emails that are sent to these forums across our city, mashallah. Or through a confrontation, or through ghibat, or through slander, whatever the case may be. That hurmat of that mu'min is a gift from Allah. If you take that away, you are accountable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And right now we very easily insult a mu'min. We very easily strip him of that dignity. We have no hesitation in disrespecting a mu'min in front of other mu'mineen. Because Amir al-Mu'mineen says this tongue, there are 35 different sins attached to this piece of flesh in our mouth. There are individuals who will be dragged into the fire, in the hellfire, with their tongue. When Amir al-Mu'mineen says, جِرْمُهُ سَغِيرُ وَجُرْمُهُ ثَقِيلًا. The size of the tongue is small, its sin is enormous. Because the reality is that while we are doing everything we can sometimes to embarrass that mu'min, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does everything He can to uplift that mu'min, to protect that mu'min. He is satar al-ayyub after all, my brothers and sisters. He hides your faults. Why? Why does He hide your faults? Those sins that we even forgot that we committed, He has yet to make public. He does that for your own dignity, for your own self-respect. So maybe you might wake up and say, you know what, if I have any izzat, number one, I don't deserve it. Number two, it's because of Allah. Let me turn back towards Allah now. He's waiting for that moment. Allama Hilli rahmatullah alayhi was a, may Allah bless him, inshallah. One salat for his ruh, please, Allah Muhammad wa Muhammad. I don't have much time, so I'll be going a little bit fast, inshallah. He narrates that there will be some of the Shias of Amir al-Mu'mineen who will need to taste the hellfire. That might be a tough pill for all of you to swallow, but it's a reality. Because you know that the Jannat is a place of taharat, it's a place of purity. Unless and until your wujud and our zat is not pure, we won't taste Jannat. So either that process of purification will happen in Barzakh or the Qabr or in this dunya. If those three stages are not enough, God forbid, we will be dipped into hellfire a little bit, inshallah, just a little bit. And then we'll taste Jannat. Just a teeny little bit. Allama Hilli goes on to say, this is the beautiful part now, look at the way Allah upholds that dignity of a mu'min even in the next world. When that mu'min now is purified to enter the heaven, there is a fountain in heaven called Hayawan. Hayawan, not Haywan, Hayawan, meaning purified life. This pond or this stream or this little lake or this nahar that we have in Jannat is made up of water, and it is comprised of all the tears of every azadar of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. We have in our books that every time one of us across the globe cries for Imam Hussein, these tears are kept and this lake is constantly being poured into. Now, the beauty of Allah's blessings is what? If you've tasted a tear, you know it's salty. Allah takes that salty tear and makes it into sweet water for the Ahl al-Jannat in that lake. When this individual who's done purifying himself in the hellfire enters heaven, the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do will take him and dip him into this water and then he'll enter heaven. Why? When you go through the hellfire, and God forbid no one goes through the hellfire, you will enter heaven with marks and burns and scabs, and it'll be very obvious that you came from the hellfire. Understand my point. It's very, very important. You will understand by looking at this individual, he's coming from hell now to heaven. And the muttaqi, the true pious ones, might look at him and wonder, what did he do in this dunya that he was able to spend time in the hellfire? And maybe, just maybe, that izzat and dignity for that individual might drop a bit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to save that dignity of that individual, cleans off all those scabs and burns with the water of the tears of Imam Hussein. Allows him to enter heaven so no one can say that this person came from the hellfire. He's just like you and I. If not for anything else, then to save the dignity of that moment. And we have the gall to strip that mu'min of his dignity in this world with our tongues, with our emails, with our confrontations, with our arguments. Think about this for a moment. We're accountable at that moment. So let's be, please, be very careful in the process of our identity, trying to develop our Islamic identity. Part of that is to uphold your own self-respect and dignity and that of the person beside you as well. There are several different ways of saying the exact same message. One says no smoking. One has a cigarette, a circle, and a cross through it. One says please don't smoke. One has the fine if you smoke. And the last level is thank you for not smoking. It's the exact same message said five different times. But look at the difference between the tone in that message. You can say what you want to say if you want to a mu'min. If you want to confront him, there are ways to say it. If you want to talk about haq and what's right, there are ways to say it. Choose the best way to uphold the dignity of that mu'min brother or sister. Especially if at work you are in a place of leadership, you're a manager, you're an owner, you're a team leader, or in school, if you have that position, or even in the community, if you are a volunteer, a committee of some sort, you're asking someone to do something, or someone did something you didn't like, there are different ways of approaching that brother and sister. The last thing we want to do is strip them of that dignity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works so hard in this world and the next to uphold. Where are we? Where Allah? We're so quick to label individuals. And we wonder why we're not progressing. I talked about three pillars yesterday of Islam, being aqidah, amal, akhlaq. And if you don't have all three, you're not considered one who submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can have the biggest beard in the world, you can have the biggest indent in your forehead. If you are going around and causing chaos and stripping the abru of a mu'min, with all due respect, you have no izzat in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an all-encompassing package. Maintain your self-respect for the sake of Islam, and maintain that self-respect of your fellow brothers and sisters. In this society, where individuals are looking for us to be a little bit shaky in our deen, a little bit fearful on the path, individuals who want to make us lower our self-respect by saying sorry for things we have no right apologizing for. But you will never dip yourself if you are strong in your faith, inshallah. One salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. If you look at someone like Amir al-Mu'mineen, you wonder to yourself, how can a man who wouldn't even take risk out of the mouth of an ant be shaheed the way he was? It's one thing to strike a man. It's one thing to dip that sword in poison. It's one thing to stand behind the man and wait for him to rise up in salat. It's one thing for you to sit there and confront the man. It's one thing for you to sleep in that same masjid and wait for the man to wake you up and then be that qatil of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And his only jurum, Amir al-Mu'mineen, was that he didn't bow down to the pressures of those times. He held the dignity of his religion. He held his self-respect. And that was the cause of the shahadat of all our 11 imams, all of them, one by one. They taught us how to live, and they taught us how to die. When we say, hayhat minna dillah, that's exactly what we mean. We don't accept dillat. How can we when we are the followers of Ali alayhi salam? We don't accept that injustice, that humiliation, that undignified lifestyle. We promote that lifestyle of being dignity and have respect for yourself. And even in that case, when Amir al-Mu'mineen and that poison was dripping throughout his body, he sat in his home and he told his son to be fair to that individual who struck me with a sword. He struck me once, you strike him once. Maintain that respect and dignity for that individual. Where you and I might be somewhere else, he was looking after the dignity of Ibn Muljim. Can you imagine? The same Amir al-Mu'mineen, who when the doctors came, examined him and said, there's not much time left. He sat his children one by one to give them nasihat. You've heard the Messiah. When it came time for him to call Bibi Zainab beside him, he told him, Zainab, after me, you'll go through a lot of tribulations. You'll go through this, you'll go through that, you'll go through this. And I ask you as your father to remain patient throughout everything that you go through. And the books say, Bibi Zainab sat there and said, Baba, I'll be patient. Baba, I'll be patient. Baba, I'll be patient. When he was done, she asked him one question. Said, Baba, I'll be patient. Just answer me one question. If throughout all this, if I was ever to ask you for help, would you come and help me? He says, of course I will. Bibi Zainab left Medina, 28th of Rajab. She left the house, on one side Ali Akbar, on one side Abbas in front of her Hussein. That same Zainab on the night of Sha'am al-Ghariban, on the morning of the 11th of Ashura, when she's going to mount that horse, there is no Ali Akbar, there is no Abbas, there's no Hussein. She doesn't call Baba for help. When she's standing on Tilla Zainabiyah and she's watching her brother, she doesn't call Baba for help. When Honor Muhammad are brought back to the Khaymagah and she's watching her two sons, she doesn't call Baba for help. When Imam Hussein is carrying his six-month-old Ali Asghar, she doesn't call Baba for help. When this qafla is moving towards Sham, she doesn't call Baba for help. When rocks are being thrown at the head of Baba Abdullah al-Hussein, she doesn't call Baba for help. They reach the Darbar of Yazid. There are seven doors to the courtyard of Yazid. One by one, the doors open. One by one, the doors open. The seventh door opens and stands in front of Bibi Zainab are 700 men, dignitaries, government officials, and when they are told to move the qafila forward, Bibi Zainab stops and says, I'm not going to enter this courtyard. If anyone has himmat to move the daughter of Ali, come and show me. I'm not entering this courtyard. Imam says, just put me up, please, a little bit more patience. Just enter the courtyard. She says, I'm not going to enter the courtyard. It wasn't until the voice from the dried lips of the head of Imam Hussein from the Nokaneza said, Zainab, this is your Hussein asking you, I'm with you, inshallah. Move forward into the Darbar, inshallah. She doesn't say a word. She says, Bayya, just one question I have for you. Just one question I have for you. Can you please point me toward where Najaf is, inshallah? She moves towards Najaf and says, Baba, you promised me every single time I call you for help. Your Zainab is standing in front of the Darbar of Yazid. I ask you, please, Baba, come and help your Zainab. سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلبين ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. We ask you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this qaleel ibadat inshaAllah. We ask you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to safeguard the hurmat and the dignity of us in this society inshaAllah. We ask you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that within the hearts of our youth, you change the pleasure of sin to the pleasure of worship. Inshallah, we ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to forgive the sins of our marhumin, inshallah. Elevate them to the status of the awliya of Allah, inshallah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's so much tyranny, injustice, oppression in the world. And the only possible solution that we see for the end of this injustice is the coming of the wali of Allah. We ask you, Allah, to hasten that reappearance and allow us to be companions beside him in that mission, inshallah. Wassalam.